All right, listen, if you can, please stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in Galatians chapter 3, looking at verse 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, that was a little weak for a second service. Come on now. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you in the front row here. Love it. Here we go. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Father, we thank you once again for having the ability to open up your living word. And as we are here, we want you, God, to be our teacher, that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding and help us see how this portion of Scripture connects to our life today. And so here we are with hearts that are open, ready to receive. Please keep all hindrances and distractions, and even I pray that you would calm our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. Lord, I pray that today there would be nothing to hinder us from hearing your sweet voice. So bless this time now as we get into your word, and it's in your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Before we actually jump into this portion of Scripture, I want to share with you just a little background, and that is Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, confronted the churches in Galatia, and he actually started off this new section by calling these churches foolish. He was basically challenging them to stop acting unwise. And the reality is, in a short period of time, they were deceived. They ended up following after a false gospel that pulled them away from what the Bible declares, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these men came in, and they were able to pull many of these churches, not just one, but many of them, away from following the truth that we discover in the Bible. And Paul brought to our attention that when he first arrived, when he preached the true gospel, it was as if they saw Jesus and the message of the cross literally as a portrait, as if they were looking at a portrait on a wall. That's how clear it was. He reminded them to look back on that day when they came to faith, that day when they converted into Christianity. It was a day that they heard the gospel. It was a day that they not only heard it, but received it. They believed everything that Jesus did, which is his finished work on the cross. And then God began to move in their life to change them from the inside out. You know, one of the things that I think all of us can relate to, how many of us, at the beginning of the year, do this thing that we all say, New Year's resolutions. Some of you hang in there for about 6 minutes. All of you other wise people don't even bother. But there are some people who like to do this every year, and every year, sometimes people go maybe a month or two, but then they fall back into old habits. And it's amazing when you walk with the Lord, if you give him your heart, the transforming work that he does is a 180 degree difference to where we were walking away from God to now we walk with God. And it's a beautiful relationship. And this is the point that Paul has been making. When God came into your life, was it because you were obeying a law or because you believed in who Jesus is by faith? And of course, God was using these churches. They were being used to do miracles, and God was again being glorified in and through them, but somewhere down the line they got off track. And of course, Paul's point in this portion of Scripture was to prove that a right relationship with Jesus, with God, begins by believing, not because of what you do. And when Paul proved his point. He pointed back to Abraham, who was a reliable source for them to understand that he was speaking the truth. And so what did he want the churches to understand? What does God want us to understand today? His overall plan for all of humanity. Do you realize, even though the world may not believe this, but God loves everybody. God desires so much to spend eternity that he came up with a plan called the work of redemption. We couldn't complete this plan on our own. God provided it for us. And so when we look at the scriptures, he was going to use the nation of Israel, his chosen people, to then make that news known to everybody else, to Gentiles who were non-Jewish. And as God desired this plan, he would use his nation so that they would know who the only true God is. That's been God's plan from the very beginning. And so you can look at that at Genesis chapter 12 if you'd like. But this is where Paul is going, and he's going to continue to build on this important truth about what it means to be right with God. You're going to hear a lot of different people tell you what that means and what it looks like. But I want to challenge us to go to the right source so that you have the right answer. I'm pretty sure that many of you would, if you have, you know, a plumbing problem, you're not going to call up Intermountain Hospital and ask for a doctor. You're going to call a plumber who's skilled and understands and knows the trade and who can help you fix your leak or whatever it is. And in the same way, when we're talking about spiritual things, the best thing that you can do is not rely upon what man says, but what the Word of God says. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
And so this is what Paul is doing. And as we pick up in verse 10, notice what he says again. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. And Paul now switches from talking about Abraham, and he comes back to the present situation. He's going to address the teachings of these Judaizers, of these Jewish guys who have come into the church and began to preach a different gospel. These Jewish men believed and they insisted that Gentiles would keep the law, that they would live under the law of Moses. And so they believed with all of their heart by doing this, this is what makes you right with God. And so before we actually jump in a little bit further, we need to understand this, because I don't want any of us to think that Paul is talking negative about the law of God. Listen, he's not against the law. He's not against God's commands. What is he against? The false teaching that a person can receive divine acceptance through human efforts. In other words, it's like this. People sometimes have this understanding, oh, God's going to allow me into heaven because I go to church. Oh, God's going to allow me to go to heaven because I give tithing. No, God, that has nothing to do with your salvation. You don't do so that you can gain something in God's way of giving eternal life. It's complete opposite. And what Paul wanted this church and for us to know is this: nobody can be made right with God based upon what you do. And so these Judaizers actually believed, hey, we just need to keep the law. We need to keep what God asks us to do, and that's going to be a pathway to blessings. Now, Paul here is going to be very bold. Paul is going to point out, for those of you who think that way, you're not going to receive a blessing. But notice what the verse says. You're going to receive a curse. And the question we need to ask is why? Why is that a curse, wanting to live according to the law? Well, here's the answer. The law reveals how sinful we are. Okay? It reveals how imperfect and how guilty we are of breaking God's commands. How many of us in the room remember a few weeks ago that I used the illustration of the law and compared it to a mirror? You guys remember that? Okay. For those of you who were not here, I'm going to share it with you really quick. So those of you who heard it, act like you didn't. Just say amen. Okay. But I want you to remember this simple illustration. I'm looking at everybody this morning who is sitting here, and everybody's, if you have hair, it's brushed nicely. Some of you ladies have makeup. Some of you guys are looking pretty cool. You got it going on. Okay. But you didn't wake up that way. Some of you woke up in the morning, and as soon as you went into the mirror and saw yourself, you were like, Houston, we have a problem. Because all of this is just like this. The mirror didn't change you. The mirror only reflected what was in front of it. It reflected what was directly in front of it and allows you to see all of the imperfections and all of the things that are just standing in front of it. The mirror cannot do anything to change it. So none of you picked up that mirror off of the wall, rubbed it against your face, put it back on the wall and go, right? Did anybody do that this morning? Because if so, I need that mirror, okay? But Paul's point here is this: you're not going to receive blessings. It's going to be a curse because the law can only reveal the true condition of your heart. And the reality is when you look at the law, this is what we need to understand. We see the reflection, and the reflection is we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. That's what the law will do. And so we understand that we're lawbreakers by nature. We started off on this bad note. And so the law can't save us. It can't make us right with God. And the Bible tells us that when we disobey God's commands, listen carefully, some of you are going to be offended by this, but I'm here to speak truth. When you disobey God, when you do not do what God is asking of us to do, it is flat out sin. Don't give a pretty name to it. Don't think, you know, taking something from the store is untraditional shopping. Let it register a little bit. It's called stealing, okay? It's what it is. You cannot be taking things that don't belong to you. And so we have to call it for what it is. It's sin. And when we look at what the Bible tells us, the consequences of those sin separates us from God. And if sin goes all the way in our life and we die, listen, without confessing those sins, the wages of those sins that we've done demand a payment. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And it's not just speaking of a physical death, beloved. It's speaking of being eternally separated from God. So it's much more serious than we think. And when Paul is pointing out here, if you really think living by the law is what's a blessing, you're misunderstood. It's a curse. And this curse will definitely separate us from God. And the reason that it is a curse is because none of us can keep the law. It's not based upon how good you are, based upon the good deeds you do. Listen, the law demands perfect obedience. When you read through the law, it demands perfection with every single one of God's commands. I believe it's 613 of them. How many? 600 and what? They're 13? 613 laws. Come on, let's just be real. How many of us have a problem with just 10 of them? Pastor, I just give five for me, right? This, again, of not being able to have this right relationship because of sin, and we need to understand that this is not just because Paul says so. What I love about this letter is that he not only speaks truth, but he points them to the right resource so that they can understand this is God's word, not my opinion. This is what we need to do today. We're not here to argue with people. We're not here to say it's all about the church. What we're here to say is it's about God's word. It is God's word that saves you. It's not the church. You guys understand that, right? And so when we look to God's word, it is God's word that will reveal the truth to us. And so this is what we want to point people to. So to prove Paul's point, what does he say in this verse? For it is written. In other words, go back to your Bible. Whenever you see it is written, he's quoting scripture. So what did he quote? Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. To what? Do them. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. And that was pinned by Moses, the very one who God gave the law to. So if you think by living according to the law. Listen, if you think this, then here's what you're saying, that you're going to keep everything that is in the law and do it to perfection. This is why it's a curse, because the reality is you stumble just with one. And the book of James tells us it's as if we've broken all of the law. Just one. And so verse 11, he says, so that we also know this, that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident or clear. For the just shall live by faith. Now the word justified here means to declare righteous. It's a legal term that basically declares somebody's innocence or to be made right. I like this one. To be clear of every charge of guilt. Man, that is some, that's something good to hear today. I want you to think about this. I'll just use me as an example so nobody thinks I'm talking about you. Okay? But I'm so thankful, even though it took me 21 years before I came in a right relationship with God, 21 years, if we could even try and count how many things I did wrong, we would probably have about 25 semi-trucks in the parking lot. It could even be more. And the reality that is before us is this. There's no way that any of us can live that life to perfection. And when we see the beauty of what Paul is saying here, there's no way that anybody could be right. Nobody can be declared innocent. Nobody could be in a right relationship based upon the law. And so what does he say also? His life, the one who is just, the one who is right, is the one who believes by faith. Believing in what Jesus did is the starting point. Believing that he not only died, that he came into this world, but he also resurrected. When you believe and trust that that is truth, then God, in his amazing love, says, now I have a gift for you. And that gift is what we call salvation. That gift is because of God's grace being presented to you, and you receive it. And whenever you receive a gift, the first thing that we all should be doing is opening it up and taking possession of it. Not just putting it up on a mantle and looking at it. What I love about the scriptures here is this: the one who is just, he says, lives by faith. And again, this is not Paul's opinion. It comes back to pointing them to the scriptures. And what did he do? He pointed them back to Habakkuk, a prophet, which is in chapter 2, verse 4. So Paul is laying out this foundation for us. He's helping us see how we are to be made right with God. And it has nothing to do with keeping the law. But it's all about putting your trust in what God promised to do. And so in verse 12, he says, yet, this is what you need to know. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, what Paul is saying here is, if you really want to rely on this, he's stressing this point. If you really rely on the law for salvation, then are you ready to be perfect? Are you ready to obey everything? Because again, the law demands perfect performance in every aspect of it. So for the churches that were reading this letter, and even for us today, this is what I want us to understand. This is some bad news. Like, Pastor Jerry, I came here for you to encourage me. You're just bumming me out. But listen, before we can get to the good news, we got to lay out the bad news. Amen. Right? We need to understand. We need to make sure we understand what Paul is really saying here. And the truth is it is impossible for anybody to be perfect. And because of that, we are all guilty of breaking God's commands. And because of that, the only thing that we deserve is judgment. It's God's wrath. That's what we deserve. But I'm so thankful that Paul didn't stop there. I'm so thankful that he continues to go on, because even though there's some bad news, listen, the next verse comes some grace. The next verse comes some good news. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Are you excited about the good news?
Yes.
Okay, I am. I don't know about you, but here we go. Verse 12 to 13 to 14, here it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Once again, pointing them back to the scriptures, this is not my opinion, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what?
Faith.
Not works, not deeds, not law, but by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's by faith. All right, everyone stand up, turn around, and then say, no, just kidding. So make sure you're awake. Listen, beloved, this is good news. Why is it so good? Because God knew we couldn't do it ourselves. God knew that there was no way for us on our own to ever be made right with him. And out of love, he provided that way. How do we see this in the passage? Here's God's love. What did he do? He sent Jesus to redeem us. Listen, I shared this with you before, but for those of you who don't know this, I'm going to try and condense it as fast as possible, short as possible. But when I moved from California to Las Vegas, I was struggling to pay rent in California and to live in Vegas before I could move my family there. And I was in construction. And there was one week where there was nothing in my pocket, really. And so I took what I had, what I thought was valuable, that belonged to me, was my Yamaha classic guitar. And I thought, well, I'm in Vegas. I know this is not what I should be doing, but I have nothing else, and I'm not going to ask anybody for money. And I took my guitar, and I went to a pawn shop. And I turned it on, or I put it on the counter, and I told the guy, hey, this is just a loan. I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks. I get paid, and I'll definitely come and get it. And he's all like, I'll give you $5 for it. And I wanted to pick up the guitar and hit him over the head. But I'm all like, come on, dude, don't kick me while I'm already down. Like, come on, you got to give me at least 30. I ain't giving you 30. I at least got $10 from him. And then I got the $10. I took my ticket. And 2 days later, my wife shows up. And my wife noticed in the room that I was staying in, where's your guitar? I had to tell her. I pawned it. She's like, what? It's like, I didn't have enough money. I needed lunch money. And she's all like, oh no. And I love this about my wife, because she always likes puts little aside, you know, for rainy days. And that was a rainy day. And she's all like, where is it? We got in my truck. We went over to the pawn shop. And I walked into that pawn shop with attitude. Boy, I was like, I had the ticket. I had the ticket in my hand, and I slapped it down, and I said, I want what belongs to me. And I gave them back their lousy $10, and I brought back what belonged to me. That's what Jesus did for you and for me, that he purchased us with his own blood. He redeemed us, bought us back where we rightfully belong, and that's in God's loving arms. Come on now, that's a big amen. And what I want us to see here is this. Because Jesus did this, this is good news, because Jesus actually willingly became a curse for us. This is kind of a big word, substitutionary atonement, but I want you to understand what this means, that Jesus sacrificed his life. He took the penalty of all of our guilt, our guilty law, you know, of all guilty lawbreakers upon himself. So this means that the curse of the law was transformed from us as sinners to Christ, who is the sinless one, who is the one who can deliver us from God's wrath. His precious blood was the acceptable and rightful payment to set us free from sin, from that penalty. No one else's. Animal blood can't do it. The sacrificial stuff that you do can't do it. It was only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this because, again, I don't want you to feel like I'm just giving you my opinion. Turn to 1 Peter with me. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice what verse 24 says. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. This is speaking of Jesus. And the tree that is talked about here in this verse is the cross that he hung upon. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Because of what Jesus did and what he experienced before going to the cross. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 53. You can read it in some of these other Bible verses that I put. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Also, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. All of them describe what Jesus did. He became sin for us so that we can now be made right with God. Jesus did all of this when he hung on that cross. So again, this is not Paul's opinion. He's pointing us back to scriptures to see that Jesus fulfilled that scripture, that he died on a cross, and the purpose of his death was to set us free, to give us life, not a curse. That's what Jesus did for us. So he not only redeemed us, but then notice this toward the second part of that verse. Jesus did this so that the blessings of Abraham, it's going back to the Old Testament, might come to the Gentiles. This blessing was, again, the blessing of the Messiah who was to come into this world. The blessing of the one who Jesus said, or God said, that would come into this world and deliver anybody who had faith, just like Abraham. This promise was given to Abraham. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next few verses. But it also says this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's important to walk away with this is this. It's because of Jesus that we can be made right with God. And when we're made right with God, God gives us a promise. Anybody who makes that confession of faith, who believes that Jesus died and rose again from the grave, anybody who believes, God's promise is this. You will be saved, period. You will be saved. And so then when we are saved, what happens? God then blesses you with his Spirit. God gives you the opportunity to become a living temple, that his Spirit would dwell in you, giving you the power and the ability to change your ways, to change your thinking, to change your habits, to set you free from those things that have crippled you from knowing God. And I'm going to be very transparent. Some of those things God will take away quickly. Being in construction, every single word that came out of my mouth was an F-bomb. That went away quickly. But there was a long season of me struggling with drinking. I never drank to abuse or hurt anybody. But I just loved having a little carne asada and some Coronas. That was my life. But not anymore. I don't need that stuff. And what is amazing is that I'm not doing this on my own. Because just like those New Year's resolutions, I fail if I try to do it on my own. That's why we need God's Spirit dwelling within us to help us overcome those old ways. Jesus did this. We received the promises that God made to Abraham. And when we receive Jesus into our heart and we believe, then God's Spirit now dwells within us and helps us to live a life that is honoring to him. And so the truth that Paul wanted these churches and us to know today is this: salvation, and the word sanctification here means of us growing in our faith. Salvation and sanctification come by faith, by trusting, and not because of the good deeds that you do. This is the truth that Paul is wanting his readers and us to know. Let's pick up in verse 15. Notice what it says here. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Verse 17, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so we're going to stop here, and let me just go through this fairly quickly. But in verse 15, what I want us to see is this, that Paul gives us an everyday example that anybody would have understood. And just like today, whether you have a loan on a home or a car, once you sign that dotted line, once you sign that contract, you are bound by that contract between you and that finance company that has your house or your car. Now, how many of you have ever thought after you signed it, ugh, it's too high of an interest. It's too high of a payment. Have you ever thought that? Oh, look at you all spiritual. Wouldn't it be awesome after signing it and coming to that realization, man, this is too high of an interest. Like you'd go back into the bank and say, you know what? I was thinking about this. I'm not going to give you 6%. I'm going to give you 2. So here's my new payment. Wouldn't that be awesome? We can pray that through, right? But you can't change anything because the contract's already been signed. You agree to it. You can't change it until you fulfill the obligation. Now, this is an everyday example that we understand. And this is Paul's point here, because in verse 16, he says this. This is what I want you to see. In the same way we can't change anything, he says, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. This seed, Paul reveals very clearly, is Christ in this verse. But God made a promise. God gave Abraham his word that through his family line, there would be one who would be born. And that coming Christ through his family line would be the one who would be the blessing, because through him, people would receive life and not a curse. So because of this, he says it to Abraham. Notice again, he said, the seed, not seeds. Here's where many people have a misunderstanding, and that is this. I've come across a lot of people who say, I don't need Jesus right now. My granny is going to pray me into heaven. No, it doesn't say seeds. Great grammy can't pray you into heaven. Praise the Lord that grandmas pray for you. That's the point. But the truth is, listen carefully, there's no such thing as bundled deals into heaven. It's an individual decision. You have to make it. No one can make it for you. And this is Paul's point. You can't expect that the law is going to get you in, or you can't expect because you belong to God's family that you're automatically in. Negative. The ones who are going to receive this promise are the ones who come to God just like Abraham did. And he says very clearly, this is God's promise to Abraham. And beloved, this is the truth. If God makes a promise, he will keep it. Amen. We have to understand that and believe it. And in verse 17, he goes on to say this, when it comes to the law, this is what you need to understand. And he's saying this to the churches and even for us, that the law was given 430 years later and cannot change, cannot add, cannot, listen, cancel or remove the promises of God. What God says, God will do, and what God will do, no one can change it. This is his point. And so in verse 18, he says this, and he's going to close this portion, and then we're going to get to a takeaway. But the blessings that we have as an inheritance, again, are not given to us because of what we do or we earn it. God made this promise to Abraham, and that promise still stands for us today as Gentiles. That when we believe in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross, then we get an opportunity to not only be forgiven, God's Spirit dwells within us, and from that point on, we can walk with God, we can live according to his word, that he empowers us to do these things. And so today, what is our takeaway? What is it that I want us to see? What connects us with this portion of Scripture? Because again, even though it was written, you know, thousands of years before our time right now, it still applies to us today. And I'm pretty sure that there's some people in here, listen, that maybe you're just visiting again. I don't know. I don't know your hearts. There's a lot of people in this room. There's a lot of people that come to the three service or to all three services that we have. Only God knows your heart, not me. Some of you may be here just trying to check out what Christianity is all about. And that's totally cool. We welcome you. We want you to see what we do. We study from God's word. We want you to know who God is. And there's some of you who, that are here that have been walking with the Lord for some years. But do you also know just because you've been walking with the Lord doesn't mean you can't get sidetracked? It doesn't mean that you can't get pulled away, that the things of this world suck you away from the one that you worship. So there's mixed people in here, and this is our takeaway for today. This is what I want you to consider. We've heard Paul describe two paths. One that leads to a curse, and the other leads to life. So my challenge for you is, which path are you on? Which path are you living your life right now? Because I can tell you this, God's promise still stands. And God's commitment to all of humanity is, I love you. And I'm willing to walk with you. I'm willing to be your God. But we can't experience this relationship until you first deal with your sin. When you acknowledge it, when you confess it, when you own it, when you don't try to justify it, you come to me as you are, I'm the one who's going to clean you up. Amen. Jesus is the one who works in and through our life. Because I guarantee you, if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be standing up here talking to you about Jesus. Some of you probably wouldn't want me sitting next to you. Some of you probably wouldn't even invite me to your home if you knew the Jerry before I came to Christ. And I can't boast in anything that I'm doing now, because it is only because of the grace of God that he changed my life. Amen. Has nothing to do with me. This is his story. And this story belongs to you, but the question comes back to, which path are you on? Because if you think today that God's going to allow you into heaven based upon because you've done a couple of good deeds, or maybe you rolled down your window and you gave a homeless person a few dollars and, hey, God, did you see that? Some of you might be thinking, well, you know, if I come to church every Sunday and I actually open up my Bible, that God's going to, you know, he's going to grant me a couple of credits for that. No, he's not. Because your perfect attendance and no matter how much Bible you know is going to get you into heaven. It's by surrendering your heart and allowing God to work in you to let you see the beauty of who he is. And I guarantee you, when you come to know Jesus, you're going to fall in love with him. And you're going to want to do those things that he desires for you to do. Not because you have to, but because you get to. Let me end with this illustration really quick. How many of us are married in this place? Raise your hand. Married people. All right, keep your hand raised if you have been married for over 30 years. Whoa, this is awesome. Okay. All right. Anybody who put your hand down, That's okay. Everyone can put it. I just say this because I've been married over 30 years. So I include myself in this. I have a right to say. I have something to add to marriage life. If you've been married over 30 years, this is what you've come to discover. Love does not happen at first sight. You may be attracted to that person, but to love that person and to do it the right way is this. It's sacrificial. It's thinking of the other person before yourself. It's you serving them, not them serving you. It's you allowing them to, again, come before you. And what happens in a marriage, when you live with a person that long, the Bible is very clear, the two shall become one. That's not just talking about intimacy. Because I'll tell you right now, after the 30 years of marriage, I can look at my wife and we can smile at each other and we know exactly what we're thinking. We don't even have to say a word. And there's things in my life that weren't there before, but now that I'm with my wife, who's an amazing administrator, my problem as a leader, sometimes I'm a free bird. Whatever the Lord wants, let's just roll with it. And Marisa's all like, okay, let me share something with you, honey. When you take what's up here and you let everyone else know, then they're going to be more than willing to follow. But you keep it up here, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to expect them to be there when they have no idea you want them there. So share it with people. See, that's a good thing to learn. And my staff can tell you, I'm not the greatest administrator. That's why I got them. But I also know that there's times when I look at my wife and tell her, put the spreadsheet away. Let's just roll. I don't want you to think about anything. And I do pretty good sometimes. But not all the time. And when it says that two shall become one, that means our hearts mend together. That means that we learn of the things that we like and the things that we don't like. We change over time. We adjust with that change. And when all of those things take place, then our love continues to keep us together and our love for Jesus. And if our love for Jesus is strong, then Jesus is the one who teaches us how to love each other. That's why it starts with Him. And this is what Paul is wanting us to understand. You choose to live by the law, you are going to be disappointed, and there is a curse. But if you are willing to put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in God's grace, who gave us all of this, then you will experience life, and life more abundantly, a life that God will show you the beauty of who He is. And again, having that opportunity to now walk with Him. This is what I love about God's promise. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to know Him. I can walk with Him today. Amen. See, that's a promise that God gives to anybody who puts their faith in Him today. And so maybe you're here this morning, and I want to invite the worship team to come forward. Maybe you are here and you haven't made that decision. Or how about this? Maybe you have been walking with the Lord, but just like the scripture says, maybe you've fallen away, or maybe, as the book of Revelation says, you've lost your first love. In the same way that Jesus redeemed us from sin, today's the day to repent and to get your heart right with God. Because it is far greater to live a life that is filled with God in it compared to living this life without having God. And I don't know how people do it today. I don't know how people who don't know the Lord can be content with the way that this world is going. Because the more that I see the evil that is happening in our world, the more that I'm clinging to Jesus and the more that I want Him to have control over my life. And not only for this present life, but the life that leads into eternity. That's what I pray all of us would desire today. Choose the path of life and not the path of curses. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Father, I want to thank You so much for this time. And I pray, God, that You would please help us today to understand and know the truth of what we just covered and the opportunity that we have today. We've learned what it means to be right, to be innocent before you. And I pray that it made sense. And if it didn't, I pray that your Holy Spirit would then, Lord, do what it does best, and that's help us to understand. I pray that today, Lord, that you would please touch the hearts of people that are in here. And maybe there's some people here who have never made a commitment of faith. And if this is you, right where you're at, as everyone's heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I just want to encourage you with this. If what we shared today made sense to you, and understanding that God loves you and what Jesus did in order for you to have a right relationship with God, maybe you've tried to do it in your own and it failed. And the reason being is because we're not perfect people. The reason is because there's no one who could ever keep that law except for Jesus. When he died on that cross, he died, and his blood was the rightful payment that pleased not only God, but set us free from that penalty of sin. So it's believing in Jesus. And if this is you this morning and you want to get your heart right with God and you want to have the peace of walking out of here knowing that you now have a right relationship with God, I want to invite you to slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see your hand to my right here in the front. Anyone else? Toward the back. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Up here in the front. Praise the Lord. In the middle, I see your hand. Off to my left. Praise the Lord. God is moving. This is such a blessing to see hands being raised. God's word coming to life and drawing you to his very heart. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see your hands. You guys can put them down now. I want to encourage you, whether you raised your hand or not, maybe God was tugging on your heart. And for whatever reason you didn't raise your hand, I just want to invite you. It's not your hand that saves you. It's your heart. God sees your heart. So you can still join in and pray this prayer with us. But for anybody who wants to get their heart right with God, follow me and repeat this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I believe that he died for the sins of the world. So God, I ask that you would please forgive me of all of my sins. For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that I'm at peace with God and my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I don't want to stop here because I really believe that there may be some in here who have been walking with the Lord. And maybe you've been distracted. Maybe you have been pulled away, sidetracked, whatever word you want to use. And maybe today there was some conviction. And if so, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Don't fight what God is doing. Because out of love, he chastens those that he desires to bring back. And if this is you, and you want to repent, you've already confessed, you've already asked the Lord into your life, you don't need to do it again. But all you need to do is say, Lord, I've fallen, and I want to get right with you. So if this is you, right where you're at, I'm not going to ask anybody to bow their heads, but I will challenge you with this. If this is you, slip up your hand now and allow me to pray for you. Because I think it's so important that we don't just play church. We got to be the church. Praise the Lord. I see your hands going up. I see your hands. Praise the Lord. God, I want to thank you for every hand that has been raised and just knowing, God, that we may have fallen away from you. Would you please, Lord, whatever circumstances my brothers and sisters here are facing, that you would please meet them right where they're at. God, pick them up, cleanse them, not only forgive them, but cleanse them and get them back on track to where they need to be, and that's in your sweet arms. I pray, God, that you would give them the strength every day to say no to sin, to say no to the temptations that are around them. And I ask, God, that you would please do a work in and through them, that they would no longer have an appetite for those things that are pulling them down. God, create in them a new heart, that they would walk with you and love you and follow you for the rest of their days. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.